All right, as previously stated, we are so happy to have Brother Michael Bimbo sharing his testimony. As many of you know, he went through a very, very difficult situation here in recent weeks with a heart attack. It was a pretty serious situation, but the Lord was merciful. And I still remember when he called me here a couple weeks ago, he was so thankful, so grateful for the Lord having mercy upon him and for seeing him through. And he wants to talk to us about that and some other things that may be on his heart. Brother, I'm going to actually bring him on the line. I'm going to stay on the line as well. Brother Michael, are you there, sir? Okay, hold on a second. Brother Vic needs to go ahead and open his line. Okay, Brother Michael, you should be open now. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Brother Vic. God bless you. Nice hearing you.
Yes, sir.
Where do I start? You guys got to excuse me. I don't really do this too often, but I just give all the glory and all the honor to God for him being such a powerful and merciful God. Yesterday was 1 month that I had a thrombosis heart attack. And it started by waking me up at 6 a.m. in the morning. And I thought it was just an ulcer that I'd been having, because the doctors told me I have a bad case of ulcer problem. So I contemplated for like 3-4 hours, and the pain got severely, severely worse than what it was. It felt like a car landed on my chest. So I ended up asking God to take it away, the pain. The pain got a little bit lighter, and then I woke my wife, and I told my wife we need to go to the hospital, to the doctor. We didn't go right away. I was still being stubborn like I am. In the business that I do, I buy and sell trailers and RVs, and I had a lady that called me that morning that was coming probably about 100 miles from there. So she called me around 7 a.m., and she ended up showing up around 9. So instead of me going to the hospital, I ended up going to show this lady the trailer at my storage facility. And I'm just cutting everything short. I don't want to keep you guys long, but when I got over there to the lady, to
it's okay, Michael. Take your time, Michael. If you want to give more details, no rush. Okay. Take your time.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Vic. When I got over to the storage to show the lady my trailer, and I got out of the vehicle, she immediately looked at me, and she asked me, "Sir, is everything okay?" And I said, "I'm not feeling well." She grabbed my hand, my wrist, without her even saying anything, and she took my pulse. And I was a little bit, you know, in shock because the way she grabbed my hand. But there's a meaning to that, because it was all God. And immediately she looked at me, and she told me, "You need to go real quick to the doctor, because either you had or you're having a severe heart attack." I know that was God, so I looked at her, and, you know, it was funny for me. And she said, she seemed to look on my face. She said, "Don't worry. I know there's this COVID thing going on," but she said, "I'm a nurse. And you need to go immediately because you're going to die." Just by her feeling my pulse, you know, I know that was an angel. I know God sent her for a reason, because I probably wouldn't go, because I'm a stubborn person. And she goes, "I don't even want to see the trailer. I'll come back next week. Please go to the hospital." And my wife was with me, thankfully. Normally my wife doesn't come with me in the morning, you know, when I'm conducting business. But again, it was God. So we got in the car, and my wife, I was contemplating with my wife still not to go, even though I'm feeling at this point, my arms got numb, my neck got numb, and I, you know, was very nauseous, which was a sign of all of a heart attack, and I wasn't aware of this, though. So my wife said, "We're going home." Well, we ended up not going home. She ended up pulling in front of the hospital at San Antonio. And even God was there with the security, because we had many family members that went there in the ER, and especially with this time, with everything that's going on, it normally takes 2 to 3 hours just for them to see you. So when we pulled up there, the security guard looks at me and he says, "Are you ready? Are you okay?" And I looked at him and I said, "Yes, I'm ready, but I'm not feeling well." Immediately got me a chair. And the lady at the desk was looking at me, and the gentleman that was next to her, he was just going over, you know, asking me my symptoms, and I told him, and immediately they brought out right there on a wheel, they brought out an EKG, and a nurse came out, took my blood, and thank God, before I even got in the room, they came back, and they looked at me with a funny look. I knew something was wrong. And they told me that my blood level was at a 5. At that point, I didn't know really what that meant, but I knew it was bad. And the floor doctor, one of the main doctors, came and got what was the name of that guy, honey, that did the process on me? The floor doctor got a hold of the cauterization guy, and he told him, "We gave him 2 nitros, and they're not working," because I was in severe pain while I was in there. And he said, "You need to come down here immediately." He called this other gentleman, this other major heart doctor from his office, and he said, "You need to come here down immediately. We're going to have the room downstairs set up for you." And normally, you know, when the floor doctor hanged up, he says, "Look, you're very lucky right now because for whatever reason, the room is open downstairs. And we're having this heart specialist come down. We're going to have to do immediate surgery on you." You know, at that point, I was all in tears. I didn't know what was going on. And the nurse that was in there looked at me. Again, it was all God. And she said, without me even saying anything, but in my mind, I was saying, "I got to leave. I got to get out of here because I got nervous." And my wife was outside. They're not letting her in. So I was scared. I was alone in the hospital. I'm scared of the COVID. And they're telling me I'm having a severe heart attack, and I had none of my family members with me. And this lady looks at me with her eyes got all watery. Thank God. And whatever I had in my mind, she told me, she said, "Look, sir, you probably want to leave and get out of here and go to another hospital." But she said, "They're going to be more stricter than what we are, and they're not going to allow your family even there." She said, "If you leave from here, you're going to die." And then, you know, I looked at her, I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Yeah, you're going to die." She said, "We got the room set up for you downstairs." So I looked at her, I started crying, and I said, "Please, can you please go get my wife?" And thank God, they're not supposed to, but they went ahead and got my wife. And while they was wheeling me in to the room downstairs to do the cauterization on me, because I found out, I guess, in the process that I had 2 major clogged arteries to the heart. One was in the front that was 95%, and one was in the back of the heart that was 100%. And the one that was 100% had a blood clot on top of that. This is why I was having such severe chest pains and shortness of breath, and I didn't know. So while they was wheeling me in, my wife looked at me and she said, before we take them in, she asked the nurses and the 2 gentlemen that was wheeling me in, she said, "Can we please pray?" And, you know, thankfully they said, yeah. So my wife grabbed my hand. We started praying to God. My wife started speaking in tongues, claiming God victory before anything, you know. And I'm just in a daze because I still don't know what's going on, and I'm frightened. And we started praying, and I told my wife, you know, basically in my own way, I said goodbye, you know, because I didn't know what was going to happen. And the nurse looked at her and said, "That was such a beautiful prayer." So, you know, my wife kissed me on my head and she said, "Don't worry, you'll be okay." And she said, "God is with you." I started crying, and I went into this room. And as I got into this room, I'm seeing, you know, all these lights and stuff on top. And for whatever reason, I just felt the peace come over me, though. Thank God. And that big heart specialist guy was in the room waiting for me. And they put me on this table. And I could only look up. And he said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm okay. I said, just do what you got to do. And let me know if everything's okay." But he gave me all these drugs because I didn't want to go to sleep. I begged them not to. Even there, God had his way. Because they're supposed to, they were supposed to sedate me heavily. Well, so while they was doing the procedure, the gentleman looks at me and he says, "Are you okay?" And I say, "Yeah." He says, "Okay, we removed one of them, but we have to go in and do the other side and back of the heart." So they unclogged the one that was 95% in the front. And then while they was going to the back, without me realizing, I dozed off, but I didn't doze off. I died. I thought I dozed off. I had a thrombosis heart attack while they was doing the procedure. And they had to shock my heart to revive me. And then when that didn't work, they had to do some other thing because I went out again after they revived me. I went out again. And they had to give some kind of, I don't know what it was, something that rushes to the blood. Maybe I'm not saying it right. But they had to revive me twice. And thank God when I got up, I looked at the guy. He was standing on the side of me, an assistant doctor. And he says, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, what happened?" I knew something happened because, you know, for a brief moment, I sort of left that room. And I haven't even told my family about that or my wife. And I knew something happened. And my wife, while she was up front waiting, she knew that I passed. She felt it and she heard a song that me and her knows when we was kids. And she started crying. She ran to my brother, Sonny. And she said, "Sonny, we need to pray quickly." So when I finally got revived, the guy looked at me and said, "Again, are you okay?" And I said, "Yes, I am." "Are we done?" And I can tell the look on his face that he's surprised. I didn't know at the time, but when I got out of the room, I realized that he was surprised that I'm even up speaking to him. So they wheeled me out of that room, and I felt just a peace on me. And they're taking me upstairs into the ICU. And by the time I got upstairs into the ICU, there was probably about, how many nurses, honey? There was probably about five or six nurses that was waiting just to see me come into that room because they heard what took place downstairs and they couldn't believe it. So when they wheeled me into that room, they all came in that room and they all said, "You look good." I didn't realize even then. I didn't know I passed at the time. Until the doctor came in and told me all of that, that I passed twice and they had to revive me. I went into cardiac arrest. And all the nurses came into the room and was just in shock. And they all just was telling me, "You look good. Thank God." And from there on, the whole staff, because a lot of my family members has been there into that hospital, and, you know, they're not always, they're always not cooperative with us, but for whatever reason, God had his mercy and his hand on them, and they comforted me all the way through. And in the procedure, while that was going on, I was scared because I don't really like staying in hospitals. And God knew I was scared. I kept hearing his voice all the way through. And I'm going to be honest with the people that's on this phone and the people that know me. I'm not where I'm supposed to be at with God. And in my testimony that I made when I first came out, I said that because God's mercy, no matter how far we leave God, because God doesn't leave us, we leave Him. I realized how strong God's mercy was. More.
Thank you, Jesus.
I always knew it was strong, but I just knew it was more strong, more than ever. And
yes.
While I went to sleep in that room, God came to me, and while He came to me, I said, God, I got to get up out of this dream. And He's talking in my language, Gypsy. The reason why He was talking Gypsy, because He knows most of us Gypsies are scared, especially when we're in a hospital. So if He wasn't talking Gypsy, I would have been very frightened. So He came and He said, in my name, He said, Mancho, which is my nickname, Mancho, don't worry, it's me. And I said, but I have to get up out of this dream. And He's saying, you can't get up out of this dream because I need to show you. And I asked Him, what are you going to show me? So when I said that, I left my body. And He showed me my body inside. And when He showed me my body inside, everything was pitch black. And then I seen His hand just come and lay on top of my chest. And when His hand laid on my chest, all my internal organs, all my veins just lit up. And they went one by one. And when it got to my heart, a big light came out. And my heart started pumping fast. And a big light came out of my heart. While that was going on, there's about four doctors literally standing over me that left their desk because I was on a monitor, and they're watching me because, they're afraid I'm going to pass through the night. So the guy was literally probably about 4 inches away from me, and he says, Michael. And when he said that, I immediately opened my eyes, and I was frightened. I almost fell off of the bed. And he said, are you okay? I looked at him, and I said, yeah, how bad was it? I knew something happened. But I knew God was in control, too. So he told me, he looks at me, and he says, your heart was racing up to 170 and still going. And the two nurses that was behind him, they've got their hands over their face and they're shaking their head with tears because they didn't think I was going to make it. And he walked out of the room. And when he walked out of the room, I got frightened again. And then when I closed my eyes, I saw a light come into the room. So when I opened my eyes to see what was it, there was nothing there. But when I closed my eyes again, I saw the light, and he told me, don't worry, I'm here with you in the room. And I seen him hovering over me. Didn't see him physically, but I just seen a big bright light, and in this light I heard his voice. And he came hovering over me over the bed, and again, he talked to me in Gypsy, and he said, for me not to worry, I'm here with you. I just want to give God all the glory and all the praise and be thankful for Him extending His mercy on me. And He's such a powerful, wonderful God, and I'm hoping that my testimony would touch someone that maybe fell away from God or that's not where they're supposed to be at with God. To encourage them that even though we might not be where we're at with God, but through prayer and through people that really love me and through the church. God bless all you guys, Brother Vic and Pastor Clark and Brother Sanders, for keeping my family always in prayer. And Brother Prime, because through y'all guys' prayers and fasting for my family, God hears that and God honors that. And I really believe and think that's why I'm okay, is because of y'all prayers. I just want to thank God. I want to thank you guys for allowing me to give my testimony tonight to God and to you people, you know, and I thank all of y'all, and I really hope that this touches someone. And for God to do a work in someone's life, to know that God is there, you just got to pray and ask him to be there. And if you ask in his name, he's there. Thank you, guys. God bless. Do you have anything to say, Brother Vic?
Oh, yes, Brother Michael. You want go ahead and stay on the line for a little bit longer. First of all, thank you. Thank you for opening up and telling us all the details that you gave us. We wanted to hear all of these details because I want to actually go over some of them with you right now. It's a miracle within a miracle here, Michael. First of all, you mentioned the customer that went to meet you. She turned out to be a nurse. So as a nurse, she was able to help you, to give you information, advice on what you needed to do right away. Had she not been a nurse and just a customer that wanted to transact business, it could have ended up differently, first of all. It's the first thing I can think of. Another thing that you had said, Michael, and I really want to thank you for your honesty and for being humble about it when you said, you know, I can be a stubborn person. Well, Michael, all of us can be stubborn. And it was an honest admission to say that because, yes, we find ourselves in situations where we don't make the right decisions and instead our stubbornness takes over. But God was merciful. Thank God for that. And then I thought about something else that you mentioned when you were told point blank to your face, well, if you don't do this, you're going to die. What a statement to be told someone to your face. If you don't do this thing, or if you do this thing, or if you don't do this thing, you're going to die. And, you know, we may hear that, you know, if we don't eat healthy and if we don't do certain exercise or whatever, you know, it's going to take years of our life. But when someone's telling you to your face, hey, in the next few moments, within the next hour, if you don't do this, you're going to pass away. You're going to die. What a statement of reality to be thrown in our face. What a wake-up call, Michael, for not just you, but for those of us that are listening. You know, we know where we're at with God, in God, and you know, we can always do better, but we know when we're failing or we're not in the right place, and you were so honest about that, Michael. Thank you for that. And then I made another note here. What a great ending. When you knew all of the situation, as bad as it looked, and you were admitted to that hospital room into that bed, as you laid back, you said something. I felt the peace of God come over me. I felt the peace come over me. You know what? This is something that money cannot buy. To know that we are at the threshold of death, but to know that the peace of God comes over us. Us, and we know that your wife, Tilly, and I want you to know, Mike, you have a good wife, man, because she was calling us.
Yeah.
She contacted me, contacted Pastor, and we were praying right away. That same week, we got into prayer and fasting for you and for other situations at the church, and it was nonstop for the next couple of weeks. We held you up in prayer. So, Michael, once again, this is a miracle, what God has done. We want to thank God for what he's doing, and you know what? The Lord allows certain things to happen in our lives, Michael, so that it'll help us to get back on track, and we have faith that that is exactly what's taking place in your life, your family's life, and for those that are listening, you know what? We don't know. Brother Ralph said it the other day when he talked about Brother Jason Hood. We don't know when we're going to take our last breath, so let's be mindful of that, and we're not going to be fearful of that, but just mindful of that and say, Lord, I commend my soul to you. Help me, Lord, to give you everything in my life, to yield everything, all of my will to you, Lord God, and for you to have your perfect will. Why don't we just thank God right now for what we've heard with Michael Bimbo, the miracle that he's performing in his life, and that God will continue to lead him, his family, and all of our lives in the direction we need to go in. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for what you've done in Michael's life, his family's life, Lord God. And we're asking you to continue to keep your hand of healing, salvation, blessing upon his family, Lord God, and upon all those that are listening on this call right now. Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to continue to walk in the path to walk in, Lord Jesus, yielding our will to you every day, Lord God, and developing that prayer life that you want us to develop in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And you know, I have one more thing, Michael. What an amazing thing when you said that the Lord spoke to you in your language, in the gypsy language, and he was able to show you your insides. And of course, it reminded me of David, how when he wrote that, how fearfully we have been created by the hand of God. And when you saw that hand of God enter into your body, and he was able to show you the different parts of your body, every time he touched it, you saw them light up. Boy, God loves you, Michael, for God to show you all these details about his process in touching you and healing you. What a miracle within a miracle. Once again, we thank you for that, Michael. And what I'm going to do at this point, this is very, very different what I'm about to do, but we've had a couple of prayer requests come in this in the last half hour. One of them came from Priscilla Jackson asking us to pray for Stacy Jackson, who's very sick with serious flu-like symptoms. Also, Brother Art Darama has sent in another prayer request asking to pray for Eli Sweet. The young boy is Eli. He's 2 years old. He's had seizures, and I think it's a friend of his son. We're going to go ahead and pray for them right now, for Stacy Jackson and his little two-year-old boy, Eli, that the Lord would touch them. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you see these needs that we're bringing to you yet once again. We're asking you to reach down and touch Stacy Jackson, Lord God, with these flu-like symptoms. We're asking you to touch him, to heal him, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we're asking you, Lord God. We're also asking for this little boy, Eli, two-year-old boy that has seizures. We're asking you to touch him, Lord God, and remove these seizures from him, Lord God. And we're asking you to bring salvation and healing to his family's lives. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. And church, with that said, I'm going to stop recording this call, and I'm going to put us on a brief hold for about 30 seconds to a minute, and we're going to walk over to where the young people are having their youth service so we can listen in on that. If any of you want to stay on the call, Sister Priscilla just texted, thank you. Yes, you're very welcome, Sister Priscilla. And if you want to text in to my number during the next 30 minutes of the youth service, feel free to text me. Let me know how the sound is. I know this is a little bit different, but it's tonight's a little bit different. So I'm going to put you on hold for just a moment. And again, feel free to text me as the youth service comes on to this conference call in the next minute or so. So bear with us while we put you on hold for just a second.